Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Trent Hoff down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got an interesting interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy talking about summer fishing. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Cruise the lake on a best-selling Sun Tracker pontoon from Hayward Power Sports. Scoop up one of our few remaining 2019 Sun Trackers. Even though these are new pontoons, they're considered non-current, allowing us to offer them at below minimum advertised pricing. Or check out the lineup of the new 2020 models with the Tracker Promise, the best factory warranty in the business, and Tracker's no hassle, no haggle, value pricing coast to coast. This is Johnny inviting you to Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77, or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, right next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on our 50-50 cash raffle. You could walk away with a pile of cash. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highways 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily at 9:30 a.m. Closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and again, one of our co-hosts here that helps out a little bit is Trent Hoff. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning, John.
You know, we've seen some really hot weather here go through, and I think we're going to have a hot summer here. But the fishing, you know, I'm getting mixed reports on it.
Yeah, that heat seems to be in full swing now. And we've been getting a bit more of mixed reports here, too. I don't know if that hot weather has something to do with that. I wouldn't be surprised if it was. But it does seem like the muskie bite slowed down a little bit, and I would have to assume that's probably partially due to the heat. We've been seeing water temps around 80 degrees on a lot of area lakes.
When you get up near 80 degrees, my belief is I don't think these fish like to go up in that water, upper water level. You go down a little bit deeper, you can get some action. But the other thing, too, we've seen is just huge, huge hatches of bugs, especially helger mites, which we got dragonflies everywhere.
Oh, definitely. Actually, we've been seeing bluegills and bass hitting on top water. A lot of anglers have been doing well that way. But like you said, a lot of the fish, they do tend to hang out in that deeper water column when that water gets real warm. And we've kind of been seeing that with the muskie and the walleye lately.
Yeah, in northern pike, if you're looking for the better northern pike, the bigger ones definitely will be out in that deeper water in the thermocline area.
Oh, definitely. Those smaller ones, they still kind of will hang in shallow from time to time. And it does sound like anglers have definitely been finding a lot of those small pike lately.
You know, I've had reports of guys getting muskies trolling out there at night even now, where it's good the water's temperature's cooler, they'll come up into that a little bit better.
Oh, of course, you know, without that hot, heavy sun, you know, right up above you, it's just a good time for them to be more active. The nights have been fairly cool yet. We've been seeing a lot of 60-degree temps at night yet, and so that can definitely play a big factor in it.
You know, crappies and panfish seem to have moved out to the outer weed edge and in some lakes out to the deeper brush and bog stuff.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of reports about that as well. It does seem like bluegills have been getting caught more closer to that 6 to 8 foot water mark, and crappies just a little deeper than that, of course, which isn't uncommon. But yeah, you know, with a odd fish spawn this year, it was hard to pattern there for a little bit, but it's kind of a full swing summer pattern now.
You bet. You know, on the crappies, we were talking about moving a little bit deeper. Usually that outer weed edge in some of the lakes, but there are some lakes where the crappies tend to move out in that 18 to 22 feet of water, and they go around deeper cribs and brush and that stuff.
And a lot of people have been seeing, or what we've been hearing anyways, is those crappies are moving. They're not really staying in one spot particular. It does seem like they're cruising around those basins there at those deeper water levels.
You bet. One of the best things out there right now fishing has been the bass fishing, and let's start with smallmouth. Smallmouth fishing has been fantastic, I mean, from what all the reports and from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it seems like they've been hitting live bait really well. Of course, just the other night, seems like they were hitting like 4-inch Kytec minnows really, really good. Ned rigs have been working, and topwater seems to be coming on for them smallies now too.
Yeah, you mentioned that Ned rig. That's one of them one baits that really kind of puzzles me. It doesn't look like anything, but it's one of the best things out there.
Oh, absolutely, especially if you're looking for a good finesse style presentation. That one's tough to beat.
You know, big mistake people that try it, I think they fish it too fast, too aggressively. That's a real kind of shake it, drag it along the bottom thing.
And you definitely don't need to go too heavy on a weight unless you're fishing real deep water. One kind of rule of thumb or something that I like to do is if I'm dragging the bait from shallow to deep, I like to go a little heavier. But if I'm going from deep to shallow, I like to downsize on that weight a lot.
And the old standby for smallmouth, the tube bait, is always going to be good.
Oh, definitely. Crazy, erratic action on those tube baits. They're just fun to watch in the water in general. But yeah, that can definitely be a ferocious bite.
And one thing gets overlooked, and we've talked about with Ken too in the past, is that, you know, when you got a big insect hatch, bug hatch going on, hair jigs can be absolute killer on smallmouth.
Definitely. Hard part about that is keeping the pike away from them and having them get nipped off. I've had that a lot this year. Some guys will even tie a fine wire leader on the top of one of those just to kind of help guard against those gator mouths.
You know, interesting what you talk about that. One thing I started doing on a lot of crankbaits and anything where I'm prone to get bit off by pike is I'm starting to run a 15 to 20 pound little short piece of fluorocarbon tied in with I use a double uni knot, and I'll tie in a big chunk of fluorocarbon, and then I'll go to a heavier piece right above the lure. It doesn't seem to stop getting bites, but it stops them from biting it off. That fluorocarbon's pretty tough stuff.
Well, and with that fluorocarbon, I'm sure you're getting a better action on that lure than a fine wire leader as well.
You bet. You know, say just something worth trying out there. You know, we got a lot of different places to fish up here, and I see a lot of concentration right now on some of the more popular lakes, the Chippewa Flowage. Chippewa Flowage, you got a ton of people on there. But, you know, if you want to get out and get away from everything, we've got, let's start with the rivers. I mean, we've got some great river fishing up here in the area.
Oh, definitely. And a lot of times, it's only the first maybe mile to 2 or 3 miles that actually get hit on these river stretches. So there is a lot of untapped river there that has a lot of potential for some good fishing.
You know, making float trips, and there's plenty of canoe rentals and liveries and stuff that you can rent a boat or a canoe down there if you don't have your own. Just getting out on the rivers, that's how I grew up fishing rivers. And rivers, it's always easier to find the fish, it seems like.
Oh, definitely. And if you're wading, just remember to work your way upstream. If you're going downstream, you're pushing that sediment up. Those fish will know you're coming before you can find them.
Yeah, and then the other way to get away from everything up here and get away from the crowds is there's a bunch of small lakes and out in the National Forest and in south of here and north, every direction you want to go, there's a bunch of smaller lakes that just don't get a lot of fishing pressure, yet have some pretty good fishing.
Oh, absolutely. Some of them are under the radar, you know, they're not those big 800-900 acre lakes that everybody knows about, but they're there, and they're actually, a lot of them can be found right around these bigger lakes. Some of them might be walk-in only, but I've actually probably done some of my best fishing in a canoe or a small rowboat. So.
You bet. Well, not many of those lakes are good walleye lakes, but you know, let's face it, in the summertime, your best fishing is probably going to be your bass fishing anyhow, and those are tremendous bass lakes.
Oh, definitely. Actually, just the other day, for the Windigo HBC tournament, 6.5 42-pound largemouth pulled out of the water. So biggest in the Bass Club history.
Wow, that's interesting. And I know you guys are pretty stocked up. You're sometimes having a little trouble getting stuff in with this COVID-19. It's really slowed down the distribution process of almost everything, from our food to our tackle to vehicles to everything else. But you got a good supply in here of stuff. If anybody's looking to get out, wants some tips, tackle, whatever, you got it here.
Yeah, we have noticed a bit of a delay in the shipping, but our distributors have been pretty good about it, taking care of us. And we still have quite a bit on the shelves, actually.
Yeah, you bet. And you welcome people to come in, and you give them tips or help them out where to go to.
Oh, absolutely. We got a very knowledgeable staff, and we got a lot of lake maps. And if you have a certain lake you want to attack, maybe you want a few pointers or just maybe an idea where to start, most of us will be able to help you.
You bet. Well, thanks for taking the time here, Trent.
You're welcome, John. Thank you.
Well, folks, you're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. And when we return, we have a great interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports provides you the ultimate fishing experience with Lund Boats. Lund's exclusive IPS hull provides precise boat control and a soft, dry ride, no matter how rough the water is. Add in Lund's state-of-the-art live wells, ultra-comfort seats, and ample storage, and you're ready to fish like a pro. Plus, Lund Boats hold their value like no other. I'm Johnny, and I want to show you the ultimate fishing experience with a Lund from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Or call us at 715-462-3674.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Well, folks, you know, summer fishing is upon us now, and on this week's show, we've got an interesting interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy talking about summer fishing. We're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy, and Tim, you know, it's really gotten hot in the last few days. We're definitely in the summer patterns when it comes to fishing.
It goes from one extreme to the next, but we got, this is, yesterday was 90s today, 95 the next day, so just plenty of really warm temperatures, and it's warming the water up pretty dang fast, you know.
Well, you bet, you know, and their bugs are hatching like crazy. I mean, I was on the flowage the other day, and it was just loaded with water, you know, fish, or bugs all the way up through the water column.
Yeah, so we were talking about the bass fishing, you know, and so my brother Tommy was out on Windigo, and I was on Couture, I don't know, from one day to the next, it just seems a little bit tough at times. But what do you hear out there?
Well, you know, it's about the same thing. Summer fishing patterns, there's always people who say, well, I can't catch fish, and you know, it makes it a little more difficult. A lot of people looking for guides. Somehow they think the guides can, and they can usually catch fish when somebody else can't. But, you know, it just makes it difficult for us, too. I mean, when it gets tough out there, it gets tough for everybody.
Well, I tell my people so they can make the choice if they want to do, you know, if they want to go or not. But, yeah, basically, it's like you put the time in scouting or checking stuff out, and then now we got these few days here, which there's no wind, so you can't go out there and sit if it's 92 degrees on a lake and stay cool. You know, it's too hot.
Well, you know, and a lot of people still want to fish for walleyes. They come up in the summertime. That's a big deal. When they come up north, they want to fish walleyes. But realistically, that evening slot might be your best time to go out after walleyes for the most part when it gets this hot and the temperatures are up. But bass fishing all day long. That's one thing the bass will bite. They like this hot temperature, it seems like.
Yeah, I've been out in the warm temperatures before we have a nice breeze because it keeps you cool. But then I've been out in those days where I'm not a breath of wind and you're sitting there in the boat and it's just like you're getting the reflection and it's hot. I mean, just really, really hot. So I know I was talking to Wayne Belsavage, and he was talking about, you know, the with the summertime, the warm temperatures, people got to be aware of releasing fish in a healthy way without killing them. You know, a lot of musky guys won't even go fish when the water gets to certain temperatures. But here, at least if you're out on the water, have a phone ready to take your picture, have your tools out, because what happens is when those fish come up to that top of that warm water, a lot of times, I mean, you know, they don't got a lot of time to get them back down, and sometimes they struggle to get back down where it's cooler. So if a guy, my phone's not on, I can't, shut off on me, you know, messing around with that stuff, and then no tools, and you know, they're holding it for too long for the pictures and stuff. So, I mean, the fish just don't, they're probably really hard time for the fishes now when the water temperature is warm and they're fighting and you're getting up in that warm water and it just stresses them out, and then you know you're taking them out where there's no oxygen. So yeah,
and there's not much oxygen in the water either.
Yeah, so you were telling me that on Moose Lake, so that's the first time I ever heard it. Then Wayne is talking about it and he's going, when the water gets warm, moisture out of the whatever and the oxygen or whatever, and he said that you lose oxygen. So he said you have to go to the wind-blown sides. You know, he likes to fish rocky points where the waves are lapping up on the rocks. That makes oxygen. These calm days and it's hot, you're really losing stuff.
Well, you've got two different things going, too. Your surface temperature gets high and you lose the oxygen in that surface layer of water. But on some lakes where you don't have weed growth, dark water, or even muddy water where you don't have weed growth down deeper, you start having things that are down there like leaves and stuff decomposing, which eats oxygen. So you wind up with a low oxygen situation there in deeper water too.
Yeah, I was always thinking weeds. Weeds are the oxygen thing, which they are.
They are, but, exactly.
But I didn't realize this, is that water lapping up on a rocky shoreline, you know, is making oxygen also. So he was saying a lot of times they'll go fish those rocky areas because if there's wind blowing there, it'll put oxygen back in the water pretty quick too.
Yeah, and when the sun is shining and the weeds are making the most amount of oxygen, when you overcast, get a real heavy overcast day, the weeds are actually, you know, using oxygen.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think the fishing's, you know, that bad. I mean, people are up here, and a ton of people up here.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about summer fishing. What kind of tips can you give people? I mean, you know, one of my tips is that as you progress to where you've got tons of stuff out there for these fish to eat, you want to start thinking about doing something to actually get a responsive strike, whether it be trolling or casting, and you know, active baits like a rattle trap or anything noisy, making rattle, just actually trying to get a responsive bite and fish rather than trying to get them to eat something they have thousands of and maybe more than that of out there to eat.
Yeah, thousands, you know, the bead chamber or the sound of a bait, even down to the smallest walleye jigs and stuff, if you got a bead chamber in there and a spinner blade on it, like the thumper jigs and stuff like that, and you're snapping that through the water with a leech or a plastic, they tend to you know, jump on it. I can always tell because here, if they just got one hook in the end of their mouth, it was an instinctive bite. If the bait's inhaled, they're eating because they can catch anything in the water they want, you know. So, but you can tell if we're trolling or doing whatever, and you're getting like little taps and nicks and touches, and then you hook one and you got like one that they're not really eating; they're just reactive bites. But and from one day to the next, you know, who knows? But
trolling too is a good option in the summertime, whether you're after walleyes or after panfish even. Or muskies or northern pike.
This is your trolling time. You know, warm water, and you know, kind of through the end of August, depending on how early it starts with the warm weather, but it's warm now. This is the time fish start to move out in a little deeper water. A lot of them will, same thing in the springtime when they're in shallow and they're going in the warm water and then rising in the water column. Now they'll go deep and they'll rise and drop in the water column. You know, it might be 20 feet of water. You know, I think of the 20s would probably be the key now, but usually you get a little deeper as it gets later into the summer and into the fall. But yeah, so we were talking about the bug hatches. So I don't care if I'm fishing walleyes, northerns, whatever. If I see that bug hatch in the water, and we did this on our northern lakes, they're coming out of the deep water, and it's every place. I mean, you can't get a bite. So what I do is I'd pull to the shorelines where you don't have all that muck, and you can actually, you know, a lot of times the bug hatch will start at 15 feet, or you know, once you're going out to the basin. So we go back in and fish the stuff where you don't have the bug catch, and maybe there might not be as many fish, but they're accessible. They bite because they don't have all the stuff that they compete with out there.
Well, you're fishing the weed fish, you know, and the weed fish are always an option, and there are quite a few more fish in those weeds all summer long than you even think, because they have cooler water down at the base of them weeds, especially things like Eurasian milfoil. It creates a great big mat on top and a big umbrella over the top of them, kind of like. And they go down there where the water's cooler and the bottom kind of cools up. Actually, the ground underneath the bottom of the lake will actually cool that water a little bit if it doesn't get direct heat from the sun.
You know, I think the other thing is, if depending on your lake again, the bugs come out of weeds and muck and junk like that in usually deeper basins. But if I can hit a rock pile, it seems like you'll lose it because they're coming out of the muck. I don't think they're, I mean, some probably like a... Helgemite or something comes out of the rocks, and you got crayfish down there and stuff, but most of the bugs are coming out of that mucky stuff.
Right.
So, same thing as going shallow. You go over top of a rock pile, and you go, oh, the bugs are gone, you know? And so, depending on how big the rock pile is, you have this area that doesn't have a food source like the main lake.
Well, folks, you know, we're going to have to take another break and hear from more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. And when we return, we'll have the second part of that interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783. Carlson Motorsports is Hayward's newest auto dealership. If you're looking for a used vehicle, stop in today. Carlson Motorsports is located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 on Windrose Lane. Give them a call today at 715-634-1347.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. You know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy.
In one lake versus another lake, there's a difference in water temperatures, too. Your bigger, deeper lakes tend to not warm up so much, and that's an option to go hit them.
Yeah, I went to a bay, what was that? It was in Nemecogon, I think it was. Went into a bay and had 84 degrees. That was last week. So I'm sure in the flowage, if you went to some shallow bays, you could probably get, what, 90 or 80?
Well, I don't know. It was 82 and 83 in some of the shallows I was in the other day out there.
That's warm water. I mean, that's really warm. It's nice for swimming and jet skiing and stuff like that. But for the fish, it's like, well, I started to Wayne, too. He said largemouth bass tend to do better. Like, here, muskie and a northern, they're similar, but muskie likes warm water. Northern likes cold. Smallmouth bass. Largemouth bass like the shallow, warmer stuff, and smallies will go out and suspend over and largemouth might do it too, but the smallies do it a lot.
You bet. You know, so everything's different. You know, you got a lot of different options, and I know if you want to drive, you can go up Lake Superior, Shawamigan Bay. The water temperatures are definitely cooler there.
So another thing, so for the people who are up here for the weekend, my brother Tommy likes to bass fish, so I'm not going to say the lake, but his buddy Bucko Strand, and he says he's banging them with top water baits. And I said, well, how deep? He says, deep, shallow, all over. He said, but, you know, I have a hard time using that technique, but a lot of guys do it, and it's fun, and they catch fish doing that, because especially with smallmouth, they'll come traveling that water column faster than you can, say, here comes a smallmouth.
Well, you know, if you've got dragonflies hatching, and you see dragonflies at that time of year when you got the dragonflies coming out, and you have a hot, flat, sunny day, that bass will come up a long ways after a topwater bait. I don't know what it is about that type of condition, but that's a really good option to go out and fish topwater baits, pop-ars and that type of thing for big smallmouth.
And I've been on, this time of year, maybe a 15 or 18-foot rock pile, okay? Not very big, but I'll sit on those. And depending on the night, if there's a bug hatch, if the smallies start jumping, I'm going, oh my gosh, this is not going to be good. But they're not jumping on the rock pile itself. They're in the perimeter of that rock pile. And so one jumps here and one jumps, and there's a lot of them, you know, but they're hard to pinpoint and target. Plus, they're eating stuff on the surface. But when it's going good, I like it because you can catch smallmouth in the daytime, and then you're kind of waiting for the walleyes and whatever else to come in there after dark.
We've got some tremendous smallmouth fishing up here too. Some of the big lakes, obviously, people know about, whether it's Big Grindstone, Round, Couderay, but you've got smallmouth just about everywhere. There's a good population in the Chippewa Flowage. Moose Lake's got some big ones, not a higher population. Teal Lost Land, Spider, they've all got smallmouth.
The smallmouth, I think, out of any species, when they're feeding on bugs, they're feeding on bugs. You know, like dragonflies, mayflies. So up there on Nemecagon last week, the guy goes, oh, he took a picture of it with his camera, and the sky was black with mayflies. I haven't seen that for a long time, but he said on his house, in his boat, every place. And you can see when he's taking a picture of the sky, you can see all the swarm of them. So, yeah, that's a lot of food. And that's counting the bugs, not minnows, crayfish, other little fish that, you know. Yeah, we got a lot of food in our lakes.
So if you're not going to go after bass or something like that during the daytime, you spend your time during the day, you know, going doing summer things and swimming and enjoying, and then go out in those evening hours and even after dark and fish.
A lot of guys will break it up, like a lot of the guides even too, will do a morning and a late afternoon thing.
Somebody wants a troll for a big pike in the summertime. What kind of tips can you quick give them here?
Well, I guess you can see them on your electronics, but the thing I'm looking for more is the bait. And if there's bluegills and crappies and minnows, and the lakes I fish those northerns, and you do too, there's a lot of food out there. And you're always going to have some shallow and some deep, but when that food starts to go out in the deep water, you can see it. And then you're trolling covering water, so you're aware of it. And I'm constantly switching baits. 5 feet down, 10 feet down, you know, just going through the whole water column. And we've had jobs like that where if you got two boats, we're going, okay, what are you doing? What are you switching to get to the depth that they're at? And once you figure that out, you get them. But don't put one bait on and just troll all day long and go, they're not biting. They're very finicky when they get out in that deep water. You have to have the bait just, you know, just above them.
Just above them and above the thermal climb.
Yeah, and unless it's... you know, unless they're really eating or something, but usually you got to be pretty close to them. So we the trolling is kind of nice. You know, we can locate fish if you want to just use that technique for so you can cast them. You know, but we hammer the fish, and it's kind of nice to just to, you know, throw the baits out. But I'm constantly changing. Those guys get the hot colors and stuff, and I'm always switching baits to find another one.
Well, Tim, it's interesting stuff. I've been kind of interesting talking to you today here. I have you on the show quite often. You want to give out your guide information? Somebody's looking for a fishing guide this summer?
Yeah, they can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100.
Well, thanks for coming on here.
Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, some interesting information there from Tim, but, you know, we're just about out of time for this week's show. I want to remind folks out there that if you miss a show, you can always go to our website at wnoradio.net, and from there you can link through to our podcast site. We're also on Spotify. Anyway, we're out of time for this week. Hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy our great Northland outdoors, and be safe, everyone. We'll see you again next week with another interesting show. So
sit back, relax, kick off your shoes, sink in your easy chair. Come on along, listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.